This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me, Melissa Idris. You're listening to the Ringgit and Sense show, a show that's all about personal finance. Today, we're going to be looking at Aurum.
What's Aurum?
I don't know. Apparently, it's gold. I don't know why. Maybe in the language of the hobbits of Lord of the Rings. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. We'll be discussing the pros and cons of investing in gold. Yeah. And to help us understand the challenges is Robert Fu, managing director of MyFP Services. And thank you so much, Robert, for joining us yet again. He's a regular.
Glad to be here.
Good to have you back. So aurum is the Latin word for gold and the source of its chemical symbol, Au, which is number 7 on the atomic table. 79 on the atomic table. I did not know that offhand. Had to Google it.
Aurum. Right. Sounds like a chant in the movie 300. Okay. Now, drop it. There's a lot of talk about jewelry these days and, the country's awash of stories about jewelry, which is where people typically encounter gold. They encounter gold as in the form of jewelry. But I think of late, people sometimes get gifts of gold in those little, rectangular squares. I don't know what they call them, like little wafer-like things.
Oh, okay.
You could, gold wafers? Bits of gold bar,
Yeah. But when I think of bars, I think of Fort Knox, and I think of those solid things that, might weigh a couple of kilos.
Like the heist movies, right? Where they heist gold bars.
When we invest in gold today, are we talking about real gold? Is gold in many different forms, or is it the physical gold that people often invest in?
I think as a financial planner who is basically working with many clients, essentially when our clients talk about gold, they're talking about being exposed to the asset class of gold. So there are many ways where you can be exposed to gold and the gold price and seeing how you can preserve the value of your wealth, okay? Or for some, they're trying to grow their wealth and say that, maybe gold is a good thing, because there are certain years where gold actually went up and then it went down terribly. There are many ways for you, many options you have to actually invest in gold.
So it doesn't necessarily take the form of physical gold, which I think traditionally is seen as the way in which to hold your wealth, right? I mean, in a lot of Asian societies, women have gold jewelry. It's not essentially about ornamentation. It's essentially about wealth, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, culturally speaking, in the old days where before you have fiat currency, how you express your wealth is probably the properties you have, the cows you have, the land you have, and some gold that you have, or jewelry or stuff like that. So that was culturally the practice at that time. But the moment fiat currency comes into play, you express your wealth in many other ways.
Well, okay, so I do want to make a point. So physical gold is one thing, and then there's also paper gold, right, where you can invest in gold futures or gold ETFs.
Yeah.
And, I do want to understand this gold as an asset class, Robert. Often people refer to gold as safe haven assets, and I'm just wondering, so from a personal finance point of view, should we be looking at gold as a safe haven?
Okay, for us, when we have dealt with our clients, essentially, it's a very personal thing, If you were to say, is there a very good logical foundation of why you should actually invest in gold? Well, it's very personal because is it 5% of your wealth or your investment? Is it going to be 10%? So if it's going to be like, 1 kilo of gold or something like that, probably it costs, depend how much, one's half a kilo, let's say 100,000. So for some of the clients who maybe have 3,000 in their wealth, is 100,000 going to make a lot of difference? I mean,
relative.
I was talking to Melissa and said, if you're worried about wars happening and stuff like that, I think that is probably a bit little remote for developed countries. And even if there's a war, are you going to carry 30 kilos of gold in your suitcase? You won't move very far.
Oh, you move very slowly.
Slowly.
People, some people can have it, can lift, you know.
You probably have to store in a condominium or something like that, you know. But
But you know, it's interesting that you mention gold in relation to wars. I think it's historically you know that refugees often carry their wealth in terms of gold. We think even going back further, you know, beyond the recent refugee crisis to the World Wars. You know, the extraction of people's gold teeth. Became prisoners of war. These are kind of the images one has of gold, you know, in throughout our history. But I guess the question today, and is this in terms of your personal holdings, is gold a place that you advise your client to kind of seriously consider?
Well, like I say, it's very personal. For most of my clients, they don't really expose themselves to gold. If they want to buy gold, they can get into ETF gold and stuff like that. Or they can open a bank account with some of the banks here who actually, you know, peg their savings account to a gold price or something like that. I mean, that's just to say, oh, I have some gold investments. But does it really make a lot of difference in their investment life? Not a lot.
Right.
Not a lot, yeah.
So right now, gold is about 5,000 ringgit per ounce. So that's about 1,200 per ounce. Yeah. I guess I'd like to kind of look at the value of gold because, you know, you're right, it's absolutely personal, but whether it's cultural as well, because, you know, Asians seem to measure their wealth in gold. I come from Penang and it's very common that you have all the gold bangles and that is a signal of wealth.
Yeah. I think this is very personal and very cultural. So, I mean, to illustrate that you have some money or wealth, some people wear gold bangles, gold necklaces and stuff like that. But you don't see people carrying around in a Hermes handbag full of 3 kilograms of gold, right? I mean, you don't see that. So that
would
is
be
more,
a very heavy handbag.
Yeah, very
indeed,
heavy
yeah.
handbag, yeah. I'm not sure whether Hermes can handle it. But anyway, so it is very personal, very cultural. So for some people, if they have... Because for some cultures, they can't wear other things. They can only wear gold. They can wear images and stuff like that because of culture and maybe the religion. So for that, those kind of people, they have that. But for my clients who say, no, I want to have 10% of my wealth and investment in gold, none.
Okay, the question is of the price volatility. I mean, if you want to go for a safe option, you know, don't you want to go for an asset class that doesn't have much volatility? Would that be logical to say? Because if you're investing in something that's kind of bouncing up and down in prices, then you could be on the losing end, right?
Yeah. So it's very relative. I mean, historically speaking, gold has been quite a good hedge against inflation. Okay, massive inflation, gold price actually goes up. But when you talk about safe, there are so many safe options nowadays. I mean, if you're talking about the 1800s, there's not many options you have for, you know, for safety. Mm. Nowadays, you have, I mean, investing in a bank savings account is very safe, relatively speaking. Okay, so because of the fact that there are so many other options, the prominence of gold being a safe alternative, to me, is a little bit too much hype. Mm. You ask me.
But what about the returns, right? So is gold an asset class that will continue to increase in price?
I think when you talk about the hedge of inflation, fine. But you talk about return on gold, because gold actually basically goes up because of inflation, not because it's something that's tradable, you can get value from it, you have some manufacturing process where you have, you know, there's a demand or supply issue, kind of, not necessarily. That's why you see that at the end of the day, the gold price is just like a some sort of a deadline that follows inflation.
Okay, so can you get rich of gold? Because George Soros got rich of gold.
Well, he speculated.
Among many other things.
Yeah, he speculated on gold, yeah. So those who can speculate, yeah, you can. Like anything. It's like in the old days, you buy a piece of property and it's worth 200,000, now it's worth 1 million. Try doing that nowadays.
Okay, we'll be back with a greater look at the question of gold. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning and welcome back to Ringgit and Sense. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Melissa Idris, and our guest this morning, Robert Fu, Managing Director of MyFP Services. We're talking about precious metals, gold in particular. Just a point of clarification, do we need to make a difference, distinction between gold and other precious metals, like, say, platinum and stuff?
I don't know anyone who invests in platinum, but you're right.
Do we have to make... are there other precious metals that are considered silver. An asset class?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some people, actually, they say instead of going into gold, they say, why not we go into silver?
Mm-hmm.
The silver price has been pretty good. And silver has better users than gold.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Commercial users as well.
Commercial users, yeah.
So gold, maybe for jewelry, is one of the users, but silver.
There are industrial users for gold as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Could be, yeah. But, you know, just to quote Warren Buffett, so he's one of the celebrity investors who's against gold trading or gold investing. So Warren Buffett says that gold is dug out of the ground, then we melt it down and then dig another hole and bury it and pay people to stand around guarding it.
Yep.
It has no utility. Anyone watching from Mars would be scratching their head.
True.
So famously, he is not for investing in gold. But you know, there are tons of people who are celebrity investors who are, I guess, for gold investing. George Soros, Jim Rogers, among the few. But I do want to talk about the pros and cons, because when you do talk about investing in gold, Robert, it comes with certain costs.
Yep.
Storage, I mean, if we talk about physical gold, storage cost is one, you know, paying people to stand
security,
around and guard it, right?
Yep.
So how...
But then you'd have to have, you know, large... I mean, unless you have Fort Knox level storage of gold, would that really be a problem?
But it's still a cost that you have to take into consideration. You still have to pay for a safety deposit box or buy a safe to keep your gold bars at home.
Yep.
It's a cost that comes with the investment in gold.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I understand that Najib and Rosma had many safety deposit boxes.
Until they forgot the password.
Oh, that happens sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I think for quite a number of people who actually want to play some of their money into gold, they will probably go into gold ETFs or, you know, kind of thing. So, or maybe buy a number of gold coins. You know, there are some legitimate gold coins in the market. Not like something that you hold in the you hear in the Wild Wild West where you have gold coins, but these are legitimate gold coins, you know, like Canadian maple leaf and stuff like that, you know. So where you're assured that the gold quality is there, right? So those are things. I have some gold coins myself in my house.
Oh, do you?
Don't come to my house.
I'm sure that that statement is directed at Melissa Idris.
Yeah.
Criminal look about you.
There's just a few coins.
So you mentioned the quality of gold, right? So there's also concern over the purity of gold.
Yeah.
How would we know if the gold is of a certain purity?
Yeah. So there are assaying, they call it assaying officers, you know, who actually verify the purity of the gold ingot or thing like that. And this is a very important issue, because I think there are so many schemes that went around the market about gold.
Mm.
And then there were some people who were questioning, is this real gold? Is it 99.99 gold? Or is it? And there were actually rumors to say that actually some of them actually was just gold plated kind of thing. So maybe 8 out of 10 was solid gold, but the number 8, number 9 and number 10 was not really solid gold. So that makes a lot of difference, because the purity has a big impact on the pricing of the gold. Between 1999 and 1995, let's say, the difference in price is a lot.
But you mentioned scams, Robert. That's quite interesting, because immediately my mind goes to the Geneva, Malaysia gold scam. Do you remember the and Bank Negara did quite a lot to follow up on that case? And I'm wondering whether, because of scams like that, that has tainted people's perception of investing in gold.
To a certain extent, but... gold was the reason why quite a number of people went into that too, because they were so assured that they had a gold bar in their hands and that they were so assured that their investment would be safe, you know.
I think many of the debacles around the meaning or the values we attribute to gold go back to perhaps, say, the delinking between currency, the US dollar and the gold standard. So without gold backing of currencies, maybe there's... increased suspicion that, you know, the governments just print money. They have no solid backing. Gold's always seen, even though gold, in, I mean, depending how you read it, is also in some ways kind of mythological. I mean,
sure.
Beyond its function, what actually...
What is the value,
you know,
right?
Gold,
yeah.
Right?
You can't eat it, yeah.
Yeah, you can't, you can't bang your head against it sometimes in frustration. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, maybe the nostalgia around something like the gold standard,
right.
And the wanting to return to something more solid than fiat currencies, right?
Yeah. I think if you look at, I mean, the 1970s was a good time where people actually divorced themselves from that cultural affinity to gold and felt that, you know, if I held that gold in my hand, I feel safe kind of stuff.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, the security actually comes from the nation states and the currencies, you know. So in that sense, people are now more comfortable with currencies. Although that, if you look at it, most people who actually invest in gold is because of fear. What if this happens? What if there's a war? What if that happens? You know, what if the U.S. dollars become toilet tissue paper kind of stuff like that? You know, those are the kind of talks you get before you talk about selling gold.
Right.
Right. So it's all based on fear. It's all based on hype.
So, on a practical level, buying and selling gold, just how liquid is gold? And I mean that in an asset liquidity use of the word. How can you buy and sell gold? Is it easily traded?
Yeah, there are gold markets where you can actually buy and sell kind of gold. Yeah, so there are secondary markets where you actually buy and sell gold options and stuff like that. So the market is liquid in that sense. It's just a matter of pricing, right? At the end of the day, if you sell it too high, whatever you want to sell, even a property, you can't sell it.
Mm.
So, but the liquidity is actually in the market. Okay, it is there. It's something that's available for you to buy or sell.
So buying gold coins, gold bars, gold ingots, that would be at a where would you do that?
Because then you talk about physical gold market.
Yeah,
there are physical gold markets you can sell. I mean, for those guys who went to Geneva Gold and then they, you know, they wanted to get out of it, they had to sell their gold ingots. If you go to any of the goldsmiths, they will buy from you, but they ask you for 30% discount.
Right. It comes back to pricing.
You know, there's also a global cultural characteristics when it comes to gold, right? I mean, India, apparently, and Indians hold a huge store of the world's gold. And South Asians in particular are great believers in gold. I understand there's a lot of gold smuggling from Malaysia, out of Malaysia to countries like Bangladesh. And I've talked to some airline people about this and, you know, how they catch people trying to smuggle gold into the country. But so do you think there's a strong cultural dimension to the love of gold?
Definitely. Like I said, it's actually cultural, you know. So at the end of the day, if people feel that, you know, this is important and they don't believe in paper money, they feel like gold gives them a kind of sense of security, psychological, then there'll be greater demand for that. And if the nation basically prevents you from having access to easy supplies of gold, then obviously somebody will smuggle it there and then the price goes up. And this is what happens.
Okay, so from a personal finance point of view, Robert, what tips would you give someone who is thinking about allocating a little bit of their portfolio to investing in gold?
I will tell them basically it is a very personal thing, okay? But if you talk about it, empirically speaking, in terms of investing in gold, we will say there is not enough evidence to say it's something they should go into. But if you want to, forget about physical gold because you can't really lug around so much amount of the gold. So what you go is that you go into paper gold, maybe ETFs. Or if you want to go into some structures where the gold is actually sort of identified for you, if you go and invest into paper gold, then you can go in there. So there are various stages you can go into to give you the assurance. So we talk to a client and say, what sort of assurance do you want if you want to go and invest into gold? Okay, so then we do.
So you can get exposure to the safety of gold without actually owning physical gold.
Definitely.
But you wouldn't warn people off investing in gold as such.
I wouldn't, because it's a very cultural thing. It's a very personal thing. So it's very difficult to say, no, you shouldn't believe in this. But I believe in it. Are you going to have that discussion?
Well, all I can say is that throughout this discussion, I had a flashback to the solid gold dancers of the late 70s and 80s.
Right.
You know, who were very, very important culturally, not just in America, but around the world. The solid gold dancers, I think a shout out to them. They all must be aging right now, I think. I'm assuming, like most of us. Thank you so much, Robert, for joining us this morning.
Good to join you guys.
Okay, Robert Fu, Managing Director of MyFP Services. This has been Ringgit and Sense with me, Sharad Kutan, and also Melissa Idris. Coming up to the top of the hour, we'll be back with the Enterprise, Frida Liu, and her team. She's actually gold, looking a bit goldy this morning,
isn't
she?
Yes, wearing a gold dress.
Yes, gold dress, yeah.
Gold yellow.
Not gold lamy, because she's more classy.
She's classy.
Classy lady. Okay, stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.